Tune into this week's Xamarin Show, where I have my good friend David on, all the way from St. Louis, where he's telling us six awesome things in Xamarin Forms 4.6. So tune in. Welcome back, everyone, to the Xamarin Show. I'm your host, James Montemagno, and today, my favorite person in the absolute entire world, David Ortenau, is here with us. David, how's it going?
It's going well, James. How are you?
I'm good.
You look a little blue.
I got that Xamarin blue, but I am hoping that you will turn my day around, turn it bright green. I'm ready to go. I'm loving
I have some good things to share with you. For sure.
I'm excited because you and I get to work every single day remotely from each other, and now we're just even more remote than ever.
Exactly. You're living my life these days. I'm remote every single day. And now you're remote every single day. So, hey, it's the life.
It's the life. How are you hanging in there? Everything going good?
It's good. You know, nothing unusual for me because I've been doing this 15 plus years. I forget sometimes, you know, how jarring it can be. But yeah, man, things are going really, really well. I'm having a lot of fun, and it's nice to see all of our products continue to march forward despite what's happening in the world.
Yeah, now I will say you have six awesome features to show off for Xamarin Forms 4.6. But before we get there, we need to know, how'd you get that hair?
So the hair is basically, I told my 12-year-old and my 15-year-old, go at it. Here's the clippers. And just don't go above this line. And I figured if there was ever a time that we had an excuse to do some weird things, this was it. So it went well enough. I did clean it up a little bit. And then I did another round just the other day on my own. So who knows? Before this whole thing's over, it could get really interesting. So I might start carving Xamagons in the side of my head.
I'm for it. Well, I love it. Oh, my goodness. I've not touched anything, so we will see what happens in the near future. But what do you got for us today? What are you going to be talking about?
Right. So first off, let me just kind of list out what we're going to talk about today. So in Xamarin Forms 4.6, we have a visual material update. So visual is the API where you can swap out the renderers and get a material look and feel, because we have a set of material renderers. Now, if you have another design system or your own built-in design system you want to implement, you could swap out that material with your own as well. So there's some updates, though, for the material side of things that we've done. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And then for Shell makes it super easy to stand up your navigation, whether it's a fly out from the side or the tabs in the bottom. And we've got some additional styling help there, as well as some navigation help that I was very pleased to have because it was a pain point for me. And then beyond that, we've got some new experimental features that I think people are going to be very excited about. One is a new expander control. And then we've got C# UI extensions. There's a wonderful library from Vincent Hugendorn that has been popular in the community for a while that has a bunch of extensions called C# for Markup. We've brought that in as an experimental API for you to use. So if you enjoy doing C#, you'll like that. And then finally, I want to show off a little bit of the font embedding, which we introduced in the last release, but we've made some improvements to it in 4.6 that I think you're really going to like.
Oh, I'm so excited. There's so many good things. All of those things you just said, I want. So I'm ready to see them. In fact, the best part about having you on is there's always new stuff that I like don't even know or is in the release. So I'm like always ready.
Yeah, exactly. And I saw you were working on one of your own apps recently, and you were pretty excited to see one of the PRs that we're going to talk about today. The first one I want to talk about is visual material. So here I am. Let's go ahead and start this app up so that we can see it. This is my Flyme app. And I've showed this at .NET Conf in the past and Ignite prior to that. We've had to change it a little bit because we're not traveling very much these days, right? So I'll go ahead and log in here with no username and password because that's how I roll. Of course, what's happening today? Well, today I'm staying home. But, you know, when we start traveling again, this will be a really, really useful app for us. Okay, so here I am inside of my app, and you see that I've got these beautiful, you know, buttons down here, and I think I can zoom in. I think that shows up. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got that wonderful shadow down there, and these are the material controls. So the way in which I adopt these material controls is I can come in here, and I could say, what visual do I want to use? Well, I want to use the default, right? So let's go ahead and do this, and you can kind of see what it looked like beforehand. So it's a very flat looking button down there. I don't have a shadow on it. It's just not as nice looking. And if I come over here and I put that back to material, which it was inheriting originally, I just get a much nicer, richer experience. Now, so one of the things that we've done in 4.6 is we've bumped up to the latest release of the material renders from Google. And the key benefit on iOS, and one of the reasons I'm showing iOS right now, is that the latest release of iOS has deprecated UI WebView. So if you go to submit your app to the App Store, you might get a warning saying that you're not supposed to use that. You're supposed to use WK WebView, which we've always... Well, we implemented that several versions ago. You could have used the WK WebView by opting in, and then we made it the default. Well, the thing is the material renderers from Google were still including UI WebView, and so it would be detected in your app even if you weren't using it.
Oh no!
So we went ahead and bumped up to make sure we took care of that. And along the way, we also have some bug fixes in here. So one of the things, if I scroll on down here to my button. I've got a style associated to it, this booking button, and I'm going to go ahead and disable this. So I go is enabled, false, save that. And now you see that my text turned gray, and I'll just go ahead and toggle that again just so that we very clearly see that it went from white to gray. Okay. And the thing is that in the original implementation, you did not get that disabled color. So is enabled false, save that. And so let's look at how I did this. So I really enjoy using the Visual State Manager. Boom. So up here in my styles for this particular button, go away modal window. Go away modal window. Okay. So here in my style for this particular button, you see I'm setting my base styles, of course, but then I also have a setter for the Visual State Manager. And in my groups, for the normal state, which is what you normally get for a button, right? My text color is white, but on the disabled, I want to make sure that it's gray. And of course, I could do any of the other properties in here as well. And this is a really nice way to style your app thoroughly throughout. So perhaps not a big thing, but when you're someone who needs that disabled color to be a certain way because the designer spent time deciding what that color should be, you want to make sure you can do it. So there's number one, some updates to visual and to material design.
Beautiful. That's awesome. Sometimes it's the little things, but also I've been using the material stuff all the time and I'm getting ready to submit a new app. So this update is going to be perfect for me.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you may not use all the material controls. You may opt out here and there, but I really think that it gives you a much nicer starting point. And to reiterate the value of those material controls from Google is that you get the same look and feel on Android and on iOS, which again is why I'm showing iOS here because you get that nice consistency. Okay, so let's talk about shell styling. So over here in my simulator, you'll see that I've got my flights today, all my flyout menu items here. But I've done something custom. I've changed the background, as you can see as I toggle through these flyout menus, I've changed the background of what's selected to like a light orange. So let's take a look at how I'm doing that, because this was not something that was very easy for you to do when we first rolled shell out. Okay, so let's come over here to my app shell. And I've got some new styles that I've put up here at the top, but let me go ahead and minimize that first, just so that we can see the simplicity of your shell file. So you saw that when I first logged in or first opened the app, I needed to log in. So that's my first shell item. It's the first thing in the file. It's the first thing you're going to see. And then the next thing you have are my flyout menu items. So once I navigate to anything within my flyout, that's what I'm going to get. But I don't have the ability to do like background color or anything like that, because flyout items really just represent what your menus are. Yeah. They don't represent what your design should be or what your UI should be. So what we've done here is we've exposed the style classes that you need to be able to style essentially every element of that menu item. Now, You have the option, of course, of providing your own templates. You can provide the flyout item template. You can provide the menu item template. But then you have to build it up from scratch yourself. And that can just be more work than you want if all you really wanted to do was change the background or change the text of something. Mm-hmm. So you can see here, I'm addressing the flyout item label style in this case. And I'm saying, hey, I want my font size to be 16. You know, I could bump that up. And I can say, okay, let's go ahead and do 24. And now it's super large, right? So, you know, it's just a whole lot easier. I didn't have to create a template to do these simple things. And, you know, when you're wanting to be productive and get on your way, this is the great way to do it. There's another style here called the flyout item grid style. And it's the grid style because that's the container layout for each of these flyout menu items. And so within here, again, I've got my visual state manager because this is a great way to style the interactive aspects of your application. And then down here in the selected state, this is where I'm setting that background color. So I can, let's change.
Very cool. That. So if you've ever used Visual State Manager, then this is going to feel right at home based on those properties. In fact, we had Gerald on, or will come on, one of the two. I forget whenever the video is released, before or after, I'll link to it. I'm talking all about Visual State Manager because I think it's awesome. So,
yeah, absolutely. So, and you know, we're going through all the UI controls because Visual State Manager came later in Xamarin Forms. Mm. It wasn't there at the beginning. And so we are looking back and saying, okay, where do we need to add states into the controls so that it can be as useful, right, across the board. And everything you can do on a button, you can do on a label, et cetera. So, all right, cool. So that is shell styling, but shell also gets an additional benefit of having a simple, I almost said hack. It's not a hack. It's a shorthand for going back. So one of the nice things about shell is it makes navigation super easy. So let's see here. I'm going to go ahead and come back to my homepage. Oop, I need to enable my button so that I can actually get to it. So give me a second. Scroll down. It is enabled. We're going to go book a flight. Thank you very much. All right, so here I am booking a flight. I'm going to go ahead and search for flights from St. Louis to anywhere. And of course, the only options that we really need to see are Maui. Now, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to click one of these, and I get that, you know, wonderful alert, self-gratifying. You deserve it. Of course we do. We've all been stuck at home for long enough. We need to go somewhere nice. But as soon as I hit book it, I hooked into something here just to kind of show and demonstrate this. I put a breakpoint in here, and you can see that I'm calling go to async, go away, go to async dot dot. So this is that shorthand syntax that I just mentioned where you can just say, okay, go up, go back to where you just were, right? And the reason that this is so powerful is I don't know where I was before, right? Like I don't have to tell it. What I was doing previously is I was passing in routes and saying, here's your go back route. And I would have to call it specifically. This way, I don't need to do that. So for example, I did that from here. And then I can also, let's see here, I can go here.
You can reuse the same pages and it doesn't matter in your stack.
And then it takes me right back.
Oh, wow. Yep. That's exactly. Cool. That's cool. You know, that reminds me, I love the syntax of this because I'm always doing cd dot dot, right? I'm always going up a directory and it's similar context. I love it.
Exactly. Well, it seems that this makes sense and we're trying to, you know, not reinvent anything, right? We're trying to borrow from things that already exist and things that make sense. So I'm sure if this is completely bananas, someone will let us know. So feedback, always welcome.
I love it.
Okay, so that's three things. So that's visual, shell styling, shell back. Let's move on to some of the experimental stuff, okay? So when we are introducing things, and they may come through pull requests from the community, and they may be things that we are building ourselves, but before the API is stabilized and we've decided exactly on the naming of things and things like that, we don't want to hold things back unnecessarily. We want to merge them more quickly. And so in order to do that, we end up pushing them in as experimental features. So in order to benefit from these things, we create these flags. So you can see all these flags that I have right up here. So carousel view, indicator view, radio button, app theme, markup, expander. Radio button's another one that's an experimental. You should totally check that out. We're not covering it today. But markup and expander are two that we're going to talk about now. And so let's look at expander first. So you just got to make sure that you call these before you start your app up. And if you don't do that and you still try to use one of these features, the compiler will warn you, right? Mm. And you'll see some new message you've probably never seen before that says, hey, I see you're trying to use this new feature. You need to go enable the flag for it. And this is how I like to enable the flag, but you probably have used another method to do this, haven't you?
So I used to put them in each of the individual projects, and then I'm pretty sure that you came on to a Xamarin show and showed this off, and then I immediately regretted everything in life and then updated every project I ever created. So,
well, I mean, so people would normally, what we first introduced was this right here, where you would come into your main activity, your app delegate, but you had to do it in every single project. And I'm like, why would I want to do that? And then, one of the engineers on the team showed me this method here, and I'm like, I'm never going back. I've seen the light.
Exactly. Never going exactly. Back. So good.
All right. So expander. Let's look at the simulator here once more. And I added a little bit of information in here. It's this next flight, St. Louis to Maui, 5/19/2020. I feel like that's the date when I'm finally going to be released. And first place I'm going is Maui. So then when I click on that puppy or I tap on it, then it expands out and shows me my fake itinerary of all the different hops that I have to make just to get there. Nice. Actually probably fairly accurate for me coming from St. Louis.
Probably, yeah.
That's it's cool. It's a nice little API to be able to do that. It works inside of collection views and list views. So let me pop over here and let's go look for expander. So here we go. The expander API is quite simple. The content of it, so let's start with the header. So the header here is what you see when it's collapsed, right? Mm. So it's the next flight STL to Maui right there. And then what you see when it's expanded is the content. I could have done this. I could have said expander.content, but okay. You know, I like my XAML to be nice and light. So I did not do that. So it's assumed that that's your content. Now, there are some other APIs on this that you can. So, for example, if you wanted to do something when it's tapped or if you wanted to change the speed at which it expands and contracts, you have some of those capabilities. This is an experimental API. I've already noticed a few things that I would like to see added to it or polished up. But as it stands today, super useful little control, and it's based on, I believe, the WPF implementation, or one of the former desktop clients. This is not a reinvention.
Very cool. Yeah, I mean, there's so many places in my app already that I'm thinking, where am I duplicating things? Because I would put things almost in like a carousel view or something else, or in a grid where I'm just like, oh yeah, it could really just have multiple places to expand, or just to show extra information is super nice, or even like. An employee directory, right? To instead of displaying every icon, like you could tap on one, expand, call, message, all those things. Very cool.
Yeah. And it's a really simple thing. It saves you a few lines of code and writing your own animation and things like that. So, hey, it's pretty cool. All right. So let's talk about the next one, which is those the markup extensions that I mentioned for C# UI. So in this same application, I've created another page over here, the bag tracker page. So I'm just not using XAML. That's really all the differences to it. Now I have a convention that I'm following, which is a convention that's pretty widely used in the community, which is to put all of my UI logic inside of a build method. Mm. And then I return that build method as the content or as the constructor, So by doing this, I'm allowing the hot reload plugin that I'm using to know which method to reload. So I'm using a third-party library called LiveSharp. It's a commercial product. You can totally check it out. It's really, really useful. But it allows me to hot reload both my XAML and my C#. So a couple things to note here. if you've been doing XAML a long time and you're like, hey, I'm going to check out this C# thing, I wonder what this is all about. The first thing you're going to run into are things that you know how to do in XAML, but you forgot, mm-hmm. or you maybe never ever had to try to do in C#. So for me, styling was one of those things. Let's look here. This is the track bags page. So I took a pretty simple example. I coded this up this morning, obviously nothing super fancy, but I've got my material design entries in here and I can go searching for bag tags and I can put my name in here and then I can click on the search button and it says, oh, your bags are found. They're actually in your closet because you're staying home. Right?
That's true.
If we can't laugh. So let's look at how I'm actually building this UI. So the first thing I'm doing, of course, I set my binding context. That's important to have because it's MVVM still. And even though I'm showing this with MVVM, James, reactive UI is another really great way in which you can build your apps. And it's complementary to MVVM. It's not necessarily a replacement for it, but you can go straight reactive UI, and C# lends itself super well to that. So it's that kind of that fluent C# API experience. So I've got my styles kind of set up here at the top. Of course, this is part of an existing app with existing styles, so I still have access to all of my old styling information, all of my resources. So if I scroll down here, you'll see that I actually access an existing style class right here, my action button, which is a known style in my application, no problem. I'm just using that right there. So a couple of nice things that I get is I get this nice row define method in the C# markup extension. So I can easily do that. I get then extension methods like this row extension method here, where I can use an enum that I pre-created in this file to control. And so, you know, when I'm moving things around, it can be a whole lot easier to then change which row this thing belongs in. I know I've got three rows and they're titled, you know, I've got names for them. So there's no confusing, well, oh, you know, I had six rows and which one did all that content go in, blah, blah, blah. So it's just a real fluid syntax. You can refactor this however you like. I like stuff like this. Like this stuff right here saves me a ton of time. Margin, just the top 20. I don't want to tell you what the left, the right, the bottom is. I just want the top, right? So that's a really nice, easy way to do that. Of course, this is a button. And so my button is binding. So I get this, you know, it's like, hey, have you ever had to do bindings in C#, just like straight up? It's a lot of code. But .bind, and you just pass it the name of the command, and you're done.
Done. So, I like that.
Yeah. So super slick.
So before this extension, basically, like some of these little dot extensions, this is like a builder pattern. So you're creating the objects, you're still creating a label or a button, and then some of the properties, basically, you can set with these little extension methods. Is that the way to describe this feature?
Yeah, and kind of when we brought this in, we made a couple of, I think, adjustments to it. Anything that you can set in the normal C# pattern like this, you should just set the properties. Like those don't need to be extension methods. Making them extension methods doesn't give you any benefit. The things that make things easier, like .center, like to write that out in XAML or C#, you got to go to the horizontal layout options. You got to go to the vertical layout options. And it's just a lot more code. And when all you really want to do is express, center this thing, please center it. So it's those kinds of convenience things that the extension methods really help out with. And then anything that has an exposed property that you should just be working directly with, it leaves those in the typical C# pattern that you see here.
Got it. So they're truly like markup extensions, going to make your life as a C# developer building UI, whether it's a full page, whether it's a control, just easier, more compact. Yeah,
exactly. And we've got a whole lot of nice documentation and some samples that are coming out on this. And so look forward to that. We'll link to that stuff.
Nice.
And so as I'm looking at this, I'm reminded of the last feature that we wanted to talk about today, which is the font embedding. So I'm actually using the font embedding right here, but let me show you how I set this up. So this is the Font Awesome font, and you don't have to use the true type, you know, the actual file name here. I'm doing that for convenience. But let me show you where I actually put this puppy. So I've got the font up here, and it's in my shared library project, right? It's not, I didn't have to go into an InfoP list and enumerate some bizarre array. I didn't have to go drop it in a special folder in my Android project and put it all over the place. It's just in one spot. And it is, scroll down here a little bit, it's got the build action embedded resource. So it's just a straight up embedded resource, nothing fancy pants about it. I don't know why I just said fancy pants, but that's just how it goes. And then I've got this icon font, which describes, and I used a website by Andrei Netescu, who is from Romania, and he has a website that will you upload the font to it, and it will give you a C# class that tells you all the different glyphs in that font, which is pretty rad. So that's what I actually used here. Now here's the magic. Here's the sauce right here. Assembly export font, and I just pass in the font name.
Boom.
That's it. Done. And now my whole app knows about this. I kind of like the idea. This is just a convention that I just did in this particular demo app, but I like the idea of embedding it right here with my glyph static file. You know, it's all in one spot. It's much more portable this way. Now you could also come into your assembly info. You could put that kind of stuff right here. Is perhaps a nice place to put it, or you could even put it at the top of a XAML file. You know, anywhere you can decorate these things, you can do that. And then if we go back, I'll show you my styles here real quick. So I'm actually using this font, awesome font, in here as well. So back up here, I declare my global style for this guy, and all I need to tell it, I don't have to tell it what the weird Android name is with the hash and the, you know what I'm talking about?
Or yeah, the I know iOS. What you're talking about. It's like, I don't know really how to do it. Maybe I'm doing the right thing. I'll run the application 25 times and maybe it'll work or maybe it won't work and it'll crash 5 times. Now it just works is what you're saying.
Right. And then, you know, if you really get in trouble, you look for that C# loop you found once upon a time that at the beginning of your app, it writes out to the console all the fonts it knows about, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, oh, where is that thing? Yeah, so this is a whole lot more straightforward, whole lot easier. So just by doing this, now I've got that font and all my flyout menu items, all the icons you've seen in this app are all using this font, awesome font. And I can use it here in XAML. I can use it, as you saw previously, in the C# for the bug tracker page. And I actually probably don't even need to do this. I could reference that same global style from before, but you know, part of a demo is to show you the different ways in which you can do this sort of thing. So
it's flexible. Yeah. So you can decide however you want to do it. Very cool. I mean, that makes life a billion times easier.
I know. Right. So it's all very cool stuff. I think, did I hot reload this page for you? I feel like I should hot reload this page. This is important. So I've got the rolling suitcase. And then I've got the other suitcase.
Boom. Look at that. That one's better. I like that because you're not really going anywhere.
That's true. I don't need to worry about lugging a bunch of stuff around.
True. You just open it up.
Done. I don't know how long that took, but that was six pretty cool features, I thought.
That's beautiful. No, I love every bit of it. And that's only some of the features in Xamarin Forms 4.6. So get your hands on it. I'll put links in the show notes, of course, and only this sample because everyone loves a little Flyme, a little stay-at-home action. And then, of course, all to the documentation, all the samples, all the good stuff. Man, I've been loving 4.6. And now there's even more stuff that I didn't even know were in there. So I'm jazzed.
Yeah, it's going to be really great. And I continue to hear people saying, hey, I upgraded from 3.5 to 4.5, you know, and it went super smooth. I was so happy. And that, you know, that's a huge relief because we've been working super hard to make sure these upgrades go very fluidly, very easily. You know, there's always going to be a hiccup here and there, but yeah, always good stuff coming.
I love it. I love that icon. In fact, in a few weeks, we're going to have the good gentleman, Jonathan Dick, on, who's going to talk about Resizetizer NT, which is almost the same exact thing for images, which is really cool. So you don't want to miss out that. Make sure you subscribe, ding the bell, do all the things you do. David, thank you so much for coming on and talking about all these awesome features.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, awesome. Well, be safe. Wash your hands for 20 seconds. Don't forget. And I think it's going to do it for this week's Xamarin Show. So until next time, I'm James Montemagno, and thanks for watching.
Hey, James here. Just wanted to check in and thank you for watching this video. Now do all the things that you know you want to do, such as like, subscribe, and ding that notification bell to become part of the notification squad. While you're here, check out all these awesome videos that I've already recorded. Click on that thing. Click it. Watch it. Do it.